Good morning, dear Commissioner. Good morning, all. We are going to start this morning's hearing. Just some welcoming words. It's a great pleasure for us to have Commissioner Nicholas Schmidt here at the Portuguese Parliament. The Commissioner is in charge of policies which are very important for Portugal, and so very interested in having this brief exchange of views. The Commissioner will have 10 minutes to introduce the discussion, the debate, and then each parliamentary group 4 minutes, and finally the Commissioner will answer the questions asked by the members of parliament. Isabel Meirelles, my colleague in charge of the employment committee, will be moderating the session. So welcome all of you. Thank you, Chairman of the European Affairs Committee, and welcome, Commissioner Nicholas Schmidt. We know from your CV that you are from Luxembourg, and a long life in this area. After the presentations by the parliamentary parties, Commissioner will answer your questions. And without further ado, I will hand over the floor to you, Commissioner Nicholas Schmidt, and once again, welcome to our Parliament. Commissioner, you have the floor.
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, so first I want to thank you for this invitation. It's a great pleasure and a great honor for me to be invited by two important committees of this Parliament. And it is also for me a very special feeling, because you know that, as you mentioned, that I'm from Luxembourg, and there are very strong human relationship between Luxembourg and Portugal. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to say a few words here at your committees. Well, I must say that for my mandate, there is a very strong moment, and this moment was the Portuguese presidency, because especially in my field, social rights, employment, the Porto Summit really marked the developments in the European Union, and also supported very strongly my work, or the work of the Commission, in the field of social rights. And I think we made a great progress in the implementation of the European Pillar of Social Rights. Now, since we had a pandemic, which was not easy, but I think that the European Union reacted strongly and with a great level of solidarity in this very difficult period of the pandemic. And since nearly 1 year now, we have a war in Europe, which had a strong impact not only on the Ukrainian people, who fight with enormous courage and with our support, but also on our own European Union, and on the economy and also the social dimensions in our member states and in the European Union. I must say that we welcomed at one stage 8 million Ukrainian refugees. We estimate that there are more or less still 4 million Ukrainians in the European Union. And I want also here to congratulate your country, because I know that what you have done for those Ukrainians who finally came to Portugal, you have offered them really a very strong support, and also an exemplary implementation of the temporary protection directive. Now, as I said already, the war has considerably impacted the economy in the European Union. Two days ago, my colleague, the Commissioner for the Economy, presented the outlook for this year, and in a way where we can say, well, finally, we will not go, Europe will not fall into a recession, which is the good part of it, the good news, but we have a more difficult economic environment and also a lower growth than probably we would have had without this major situation due to the war, and especially also which pushed a lot prices due to energy prices, and not only energy but also food prices, which had an eroding impact on the purchasing power of households, and mainly on more vulnerable households. Now, I know that Portugal has put into immediately implemented a certain number of measures to mitigate the impact by increasing minimum wages, but also by supporting families through different support measures to reduce the impact of inflation on their purchasing power. Now, a few elements which I would like to mention. First, this Commission is very much committed, as you know, from the beginning to the Green Deal, greening our economy. And I think finally now we notice that our dependency on fossil fuels had created an extreme vulnerability, and therefore we have to push further the greening of our economy, the investment in a more in a greener economy, and especially in renewables. And here also, I think Portugal has done already a very important, a very good job. Now, how can we do it? This was launched through the Recovery and Resilience Facility, and each member state has put into place a national recovery and resilience plan. And again, from my point of view, especially as a commissioner for social rights and the employment, the Portuguese plan is very much also focused on social investment. Social investment like health, like labor market, education, and just to mention, this year has been declared the European Year of Skills. And this goes together with the transformation of our economies, because on one hand, we have the greening of our economy. On the other hand, we have also the investment in many new technologies, and especially the digitalization. And here also, I must say that the Portuguese economy is going through a very rapid transformation, especially the digitalization of Portugal, and also the creation of many new companies, startups in Portugal in this particular area is extreme, is remarkable. Now, we know that Europe is playing an important role in Portugal, and Portugal has always been a very strong supporter of Europe. And especially also through the different funds, Portugal has managed to transform not only the economy, but also has managed to transform its social protection system, and especially also here, the social agenda, which has been pushed very much, thanks also to the support of the European Union, not only the Pillar of Social Rights, but also the European Social Fund. And I must say that on the basis of the Porto conclusion, Portugal has announced quite ambitious objective. On one hand, improving the employment. And I have to say that the employment rate is now more or less close to the European average in a country where unemployment was before quite higher, especially also youth unemployment is more or less, it's slightly above the employment, the average, but a lot of success, a lot of positive results have been achieved. So employment rate up to 80%, which is above the average indicated in the Porto conclusions. Investing in training and education and lifelong learning, 60% of the workforce should benefit of such measures each year, and especially also reducing poverty, which is a challenge for the European Union as such. We have taken a commitment to reduce the number of people at risk of poverty by 15 million. Portugal alone has indicated 750,000. I think this is an extremely important, or even 765,000, which is an important element of the action plan of the social pillar. You know that this Commission has a very ambitious social agenda. I just mentioned the Minimum Wage Directive, the Platform Work Directive, and here Portugal has already in the new law in some way transposed what we propose in the proposal, Child Guarantee, Social Dialogue Initiative, which is important especially in a period of more social and economic difficulties. We have proposed a minimum income recommendation as well as a strategy for long-term care. And finally, social economy. I know that social economy is playing a very important role in Portugal, and I always benefited from the large and strong support from Portuguese governments in this important area. So I stop here. I think that's 10 minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner, for your interesting presentation. I will now hand over the floor to the Socialist Party. And each of the two members of Parliament have 2 minutes from the Socialist Party. Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to welcome Commissioner Nicholas Schmidt and the delegation, colleagues. Commissioner, I'd like to start off on behalf of the Socialist Party to thank you for your presence in this meeting and all the information which you have shared with us. And I would like to ask you 3 questions. We don't have a lot of time. To what extent the recent approval of the agenda for dignified work is a good contribution to reach the targets of the social pillar to reduce unemployment and to reduce poverty? To what extent is the EU going to control the pandemic and the war as regards the high-level summit of Porto from 21? And the commitment of Portugal of organizing a social forum every 2 years in Oporto, next 27th of May, how will that contribute to consolidate the European social model and to implement the 20 principles of the European Plan of Social Rights? Commissioner, we live in difficult times, but a challenge for all mankind and the digital and climate transition, energy crisis, food emergency, in growing old everybody and the new employability, the speed of change, these are challenges in our economic agenda. But human dignity, state of law, equal rights, equal gender, fight against all forms of discrimination and exclusion, and fighting poverty are the largest challenges of mankind. So my last question to you, if the European social model, can it be decisive for social economic development of the European Union, and to what extent will the social agenda and employment influence or be part of all priority agendas of the EU in order to work together to achieve common objectives and to make the European project a project of a Europe with future, a developed Europe for the people, with equality and justice. Thank you. Thank you, Cristina. The Socialist Party will now have Mr. Vilars. Thank you, Chairman, Commissioner, colleagues. Commissioner, a few weeks ago, we had your colleague, Elisa Freire from Portugal, to exchange ideas about the working agenda of the Commission, and although the work of the Commission has many areas, I felt let down by lack of initiatives in the programme as regards the social dimension and in the labour field, which goes against the speech of the EU during the pandemic, which pointed the way to a social Europe and to reconcile Europeans with the European project. But something in your working agenda, which is the recommendation for minimum income at a European level. So, question, is the Commission willing to present a proposal, a directive about minimum income at a European level, going beyond a mere recommendation? Yesterday, I think a resolution of the European Parliament was approved suggesting that. Is it, and is also part of the conclusions on the future of Europe? And finally, I know that you are aware of the European crisis in housing. You were one of the great promoters of the European Platform for the Homeless, but the truth is that the refurbishment, renovation, hasn't had an impact. So what is the Commission thinking to help member states to overcome the housing shortages and crisis? Because it would be serious if expectations of European citizens following the Oporto Social Summit would be undermined and could lead to an environment of unease in this area of housing. So I will hand the floor back to the Commissioner to answer the Socialist Party questions. You have 4 minutes.
Thank you very much. Well, first, I would say that decent work more and more becomes a fundamental issue in our societies, especially for young people. We have gone through the pandemic, and we see that the value of work is important, but it's not just any work. It's quality jobs, it's quality work, it's decent work. Working conditions are an important element now for a world of work which is changing fundamentally. And if we do not precisely create the right frameworks, well, it will not be automatically decent work. It might be precarious work. We have gone through this period where finally it was said, it's better to have any job than no job. That's not the approach now defended by the Commission. We are very much focused now, quality job, decent work, and good working conditions with a decent pay. That's why we have made the proposal also on the minimum wage. And that's why also that the social forum of Porto is important, because I think, as I said at the beginning, in Porto we laid a very, very strong foundation for social Europe. Because I wouldn't say before, it's before Porto and after Porto. It's certainly before the pillar of social rights and after the pillar of, but Porto gave the pillar of social rights the right life. It gave the Porto, it gave the pillar the real dynamic we need to shape our European policies in a fair and just way. And you mentioned the EU social model. Yes, the EU social model. I just show you. We have a report now. I asked some scholars to prepare a report on the future of the social model, on the future of social protection, because we have to adapt this model, obviously, because the economy is changing, the world is changing, but not in a sense that we have to reduce it. We have to make it more stable. We have to make it stronger. We have to make it able to respond to the challenges of technology, of digitalization, of new forms of work. You have done it in your decent work law, especially by reducing precariousness, by reducing flexibility, not in a way that there is no mobility on the labor market. No, but people have to get the guarantee that they might be obliged to change their job, but they are accompanied. They get better skills. That's why we have proposed this year of skills, because skills becomes the heart of a labor market which is able also to integrate the big transformation, be it green, be it digital, or just also the international environment. So I think this is what finally is now important, that the social dimension has been integrated into our policies to build precisely the Europe for people and make it clear that if there is no social dimension, we are losing the support for Europe. We have seen that especially after the financial crisis. Now, the minimum income one, well, there's a problem of competence why we couldn't propose a directive, because we have not a legislative competence to make this proposal. There was a long debate, should we try it? I have another debate now on the young people, when they work in a company, students and so on. We would like to make a directive, but we are now hurting a competence issue. On homeless and housing, we are working on this together with member states. Here also the Commission cannot do everything. We cannot solve the homeless problem alone. We have to do it with a lot of stakeholders. And I thank again the Portuguese presidency for having supported the creation of a platform. And the housing shortage is perhaps not mainly a European competence. It has become a European problem everywhere in many member states. And here I think Europe can accompany by investment the different policies in the member states.
Muito obrigada, Sr. Comissário Nicolas Schmidt. Agora,
thank you, Commissioner. Now, Member of Parliament from the Social Democratic Party, Mr. Nuno Carvalho. Thank you, Chairman. Also, the Chairman of the European Union Affairs, and welcome, Commissioner and colleagues. First question, associated to what you have already mentioned, which is the importance of the economy and the importance that the economy has for the labor market to increase income and to give more security to that income and to help improve the amounts of minimum wage and average wage. In that sense, we'd like to know the following as regards the support which the European Commission and Europe has made available to member states. First of all, the Recovery and Resilience Programme, very important programme for Portugal to help recover the impact from the pandemic. And Commissioner, what's the outlook of the importance of that programme being applied, implemented as quickly as possible, considering the levels of inflation that exist? And the later the programme is implemented, the member states can run the risk of losing money because of inflation, and that can have an impact on the income of workers. So, the follow-up by the EU in this area. Portugal has already received a lot of money, but we have a problem of execution, as you know. Second question, the challenges in energy transition and new working methods. It's a concern which you have shared with us from the pandemic time, especially inclusion of young people, women, inclusion of women in the labour market, and ambitious programmes as regards the introduction of young people and women on the labour market as a way of facing the challenges of the labour market following the pandemic. New challenges, and given the programmes which the European Union is preparing in terms of energy transition and investment plans after the Act in the United States, in what way are these new challenges going to affect, or how can they affect, even positively, what is the labour market in the European Union, especially for young people and for women? Last question. You have promoted dialogue in a clear way, the concern as regards digital platform workers. That problem is being discussed at a European level, and we're trying to find a solution, the most harmonious and the most similar solution applied to all member states. So a standard solution, obviously with local legislation as barriers, is the way forward. But given that you and our party believe that platform workers have to have social protection without undermining the flexibility which is required, do you think that the new legislation which is being approved in this parliament, do you believe that if we have a company, an intermediate between the platform and the worker, do you think that can help to establish labour links between the workers and the platforms? In Portugal, the labour links can exist between a company that provides services to the platform. So can you give us your view as regards this intermediate function? Thank you. Thank you, Nuno Carvalho. Now, Nicholas Schmidt, you have 4 minutes to answer.
Thank you very much for these questions. Well, we all agree that the economy is of utmost importance, and that's why the Commission finally proposed this recovery and resilience facility, and member states accepted this, and this program of 750 billion has to be implemented rapidly, because the idea was, how can we, in comparison to others, and you mentioned, for instance, the Americans, how can Europe also support not only the economy after the pandemic, but also the transformation of the economy, the green transformation, the digital transformation, the modernization of our infrastructures, supporting this transitions. So I think this is extremely important for the future of the European Union, as well as for the member states. And that's why there is a deadline, 26, in order to encourage member states not only to present their plans, they have done it, plans have been approved, but also to implement the programs and to implement the projects. This is this is absolutely key if we want to have a strong and rapid impact. This has to be done. So I encourage all the member states to do that in all the areas which have been identified. I mentioned that Portugal has very much focused also on health, on labor, on education, because we will not have a digital revolution without educated people. We have to invest a lot in skills. This is absolutely essential. So you have mentioned inflation. Yes, when this was launched, we were not in an inflationary modus. We have rediscovered inflation after several decades where we had very low inflation. Now we have to adapt to this new higher inflation rates. Hopefully, well, the forecast at least give us some indication that we will go down from 8, like Portugal or European average, to around 2 or slightly above 2, which would be a great success. But let's see, this depends a lot on external factors we do not control so much, or at least not in the short term. On energy transition, I have already mentioned how important it is to go away from fossil fuels, not just because of Russia, but because of climate, but also because I think our autonomy, energy autonomy, is key for the development of our economies. And we see the example now of the US. The US have decided to invest a lot of money into this transformation, and we have to respond to that. And we cannot just say, well, nothing is happening, because we have a strong competition from the US, especially through all kinds of measures, including also state aids given to the transformation to companies, attracting companies from Europe, including European companies to invest in the US, batteries, cars, electric cars, solar panels, all this. We cannot just sit there and look. We have to act and react. And that's why the Commission has made a very strong proposal on the Green Industry Act in order not to miss this big transformation. And these are the jobs of the future. These are the quality jobs I just mentioned. These are the better paid jobs with better conditions. These are the jobs for the young, for better skilled people. That's why skilling and creating these jobs are extremely important. You have mentioned women. Yes, I think Portugal has already a relatively high participation of women, but there is still a margin for improvement, and that's why I think it is a last word on digital platform. Well, I think that we have made a very balanced proposal now, which is in the discussion in the Council, on this company between. If this does not alterate, if this does not weaken the status of the workers, this can be looked at. I would not be against. If this does not change the fact that these people are protected, get social protection, if they are really employees, if they are really workers. I am not against self-employment, but it has to be genuine self-employed. Not I'm a self-employed because just I do not get any social protection. And if I'm not a self-employed, I have to be treated for different reasons, for social reasons, but also for fair competition reasons, as all other workers. Sorry.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Comissário Nicolas Schmidt.
Thank you, Commissioner. I will now give the floor to Chega. Bruno Nunes. Chega is enough in Portuguese. Chairman's Commissioner, welcome your visit to Portugal, and in this meeting, I also want to welcome and welcoming all the Portuguese people living in Luxembourg, the Portuguese diaspora, immigrants with a strong tradition in your country, completely integrated, great workers, and recognized as such. We talked about different matters when you talked about the directive about temporary protection and the role that Portugal has had in supporting refugees. My party separates refugees from migration flows and immigrants. So, first question to you is, the President of the Commission, Mrs. van der Leyen, mentioned during a meeting that Frontex had detected 30,000 attempts of crossing European borders, and at the moment we have more than 294,000 asylum requests which are in a limbo. Do you believe these immigration flows, and I don't want to talk about war refugees, has that damaged? And has that led to more unemployment, which is not included in the official figures given by member states? At an economic level, you mentioned about the resistance which the Portuguese government has had and the way in how it has worked to develop the economy. But so, I would like to ask you, as Commissioner, how do you see that the Portuguese government today, and when we are facing a war which was unexpected, and we have economic crisis which is horizontal to all EU member states, how do you see that the Portuguese government didn't apply for zero rate taxes on goods of first necessity, of not having reduced the taxation on food? And also, on average, Portuguese youngsters, you mentioned them, but Portuguese youngsters are aware that some of them are immigrating, they are leaving Portugal, those, especially with those with skills. We have a good unemployment rate here because people immigrate. And we can even compare figures that average salaries in Portugal are much lower than the average salary in Europe. When you mention protection of workers, how do you see a correlation that we don't have a more concrete policy as regards the problems of immigration? Recently, Portugal approved in this house authorization through visas for all those that can come from Portuguese-speaking countries. All they need is to declare that they are declaring that they are coming to work. They don't need a work contract. Do you believe that this issue, together with the non-restriction and no control of borders, which Portugal has been doing, undermines the Schengen space? And secondly, do you think that creates dumping in terms of salaries? And obviously, we will have lower salaries, and that doesn't provide any guarantees to work for those that arrive and those who live here, and it doesn't guarantee the right social protection for those who are trying to work in a professional fashion with having a good salary and supporting their family and living in freedom and safety. Thank you. Bruno Nunes, Commissioner, you have the floor.
Well, I think that it's not my responsibility immigration policy, but I'm associated also from the point of view of labor market. First, I think this commission tries absolutely to have a much more coordinated European immigration policy. I think we have the advantage of the Schengen area, and to make the Schengen area function, we need to have also an external border policy. And it is obvious, as you mentioned, the president, that the controls on our borders are part of a good immigration policy. Now, has immigration increased unemployment in the European Union? I don't believe that. No figures indicate that now, because of immigration from outside, unemployment has gone up. What we have now in Europe, including also in many sectors in Portugal, it's not so much, it's the problem of labor shortages in areas where people do not want to go anymore. And we are desperate to find the workers for these kind of sectors. So I think to have a legal immigration policy, giving the opportunity to people coming from third countries to work, I think this in the European Union, in the case it would be Portugal, is the only way also how we can compensate our shortages on the labor market, which affects especially certain sectors. Just, I haven't seen the figures on immigration from Portugal recently. I know that there was a very strong immigration from Portugal during the last crisis, during the financial and economic crisis. It was even in some way a desperate situation. Now, if I may take my Luxembourgish hat, I can say that from Luxembourg, there are now Portuguese people coming back to Portugal, which, by the way, we do not like so much because we also have shortages. And it has become much more difficult now to attract workers from Portugal to Luxembourg, which is a quite high level in terms of wages, high wage level country. So I think this is something which has to be looked at. And I would say that the Commission is very, very strongly advocating legal immigration policies, which responds also to precisely our needs on the labor market in many areas. On the zero rate, I think it's taxation is not it's a decision taken by the Portuguese government to do the zero rate or not. I must say a few countries did it, many did not do the zero rate. There is not a clear indication that zero rate VAT has such a big impact on prices, because very often you have zero rate, but prices remain at the same level. So this has to be looked at with caution, but I accept that some countries have done it on some essential goods. Yes.
Thank you, Commissioner. Now, Portuguese Communist Party, who is also vice chairman of this working committee. Thank you, Chairman, also chairman of the European Affairs Committee, and colleagues, and Commissioner Nicholas Schmidt. Commissioner, yesterday, the president of the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, announced the second increase in interest rates. It's clear that this decision will worsen the difficult working conditions of workers in many member states, especially as regards mortgages payments. The European Council continues to ignore the significant impact of the consecutive increases in interest rates and the impact on families, companies, and even in the financial conditions of the state, especially in countries like Portugal. The institutions are indifferent to the inflation which we are facing and the worsening of real wages and loss in the purchasing power of workers and the population in Europe and in Portugal in particular. It's important, the fact that the last European Council ignored topics which are on the agenda, like worsening the working conditions and life conditions of workers. These are worsening compared to the enormous profits of economic groups, economic companies in distribution, banking, telecommunications, energy, amongst other sectors, increasing inequality and creating lack of justice. And no attention is given to price controls, and no attention is given to increasing pensions and salaries. And in Portugal, we are losing purchasing power with thousands of people who work, but at the end of the day, they are getting poorer all the time. I know the EU has a challenge, which you mentioned, of reducing poverty. It's urgent, Commissioner, that your challenge is met. The small wage increases do not compensate for the huge increase in prices and speculation with goods of first necessity. 20% increase in 2022 in Portugal as regards the essential products. We are not expecting any more efficient taxation on profits of economic groups who have benefited from the current situation. For example, Galp, Portugal, the energy company, 880 million euros in profits. That's the Portuguese energy company. In 2022, that's twice as much as they recorded in the previous financial year. Also, lack of investment in the productive capacity of each country and small investment in training for better jobs with more skills. So, Commissioner, what concrete solutions does the European Commission has for real improvement of salaries and pensions of workers in the EU and a real recovery of the purchasing power? Thank you. Thank you. Commissioner, you have the floor.
Well, as the central bank is independent, I would not comment now on the interest rate hikes which they have decided, the new ones. As I said, we are in an inflationary context, and everybody knows that also interest rates cannot be the only solution for combating inflation, because the shocks are coming, are mainly external shocks due to the war, due to the markets. And you have mentioned, yes, the speculation on especially energy markets. We have to look at that in a larger sense. But I think that the central bank is doing their job, is doing its job in a quite responsible way, and it does not be to be commented now, nor by me, nor by the European Council, because otherwise the central bank would not be anymore independent. Now, it is clear that the Commission has always defended the idea that wages should at least follow price increases, and especially lower and middle incomes should maintain the level of their purchasing power. This is what we have always expressed. You have mentioned that indeed there are exceptional profits due, especially in those sectors who have benefited from the high increases of prices. You have mentioned energy. Here also, the Commission from the beginning has at least mentioned the possibility for member states to tax these profits. And you have probably heard that this is a debate also, not only in Europe, this is a debate in US. Some governments in the European Union have introduced special taxation on extraordinary profits. If especially these profits are not reinvested, for instance, in renewable energies. On poverty, I think this is indeed a very important issue. On poverty, you fight best poverty by good jobs, by investing in skills, and by better wages. And that's why we have proposed this minimum wage directive, saying that for decent work you have to have a decent pay. And you have to, and this was one of the first proposals made by this commission, and the president of this commission was to have decent minimum wages. That's the best way to fight poverty, including also other compensation and transfers. You have mentioned the issue of pensions, that also old age should not be a moment in life where people fall back into poverty. And here also the Commission has always defended adequacy at the level of pensions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Finally, to finish, Isabel Pires, from the left group, Bloco de Esquerda. Thank you, Chairmen, Commissioner, colleagues. Two questions of a general nature, but important for our debate, namely salaries. The European Commission, a month ago, stated that it considered that there was some leeway for salary increases so that workers could deal with costs of living increases. In Portugal, the government said that it rejected that need. So we have a dichotomy, a difference between our government and your position, and this doesn't satisfy the needs of the population. Commissioner, today you stated that there was a need for salaries to be increased so that families can face the increase in the cost of living. In Portugal, we have a scenario which, from our point of view, has to have a stronger response. Also, interest rates were mentioned. That has an impact in what is happening in Portugal. Inflation, housing. We continue to be a country with high qualification of the labor force. However, we have very low average wages, and we have a large number of workers who get paid but are considered below the level of poverty. And we have regrettable incidents that workers get their salaries, but they can't pay for housing. So a lot of areas to be improved from the point of view of salaries. And my question, and this is relating to housing and inflation, is the European Commission thinking about having more concrete measures from a point of view of increasing salaries? It's not sufficient to say that there is leeway. We want to know what your position is in terms of increasing salaries so that can become a reality for the life of the workers. Second question, digital platforms. It's already been mentioned. I believe we held a debate about this in the last few months, and Portugal, since 2018, is an exception in Europe because they invented this figure of intermediate company between the platform and the worker. From our point of view, it's strange, it's bizarre, because it introduces precarious work in our company. We have followed the debate, the discussion at the European Parliament level to go down the road of a directive which can bring rights to 30 million workers working for platforms in Europe. And so obviously we have to have regulations here and a recognition that these workers are entitled to rights. So question, comparing to what happens in Portugal, we've just had changes to our legislation, but we have to go further down this road, especially in the field of the cab drivers, or the Bolts and Ubers of this world. So what's the idea of the European Commission about this debate of platform workers so that they are recognized as workers that have to have rights and need to have rights just like any other worker? You mentioned skills. We need jobs with skills, well paid for European young people, including the Portuguese, but for Portugal, the platforms have served to create more precariousness, and they have employed immigrants. But on the other hand, we have thousands of skilled youngsters which have good capacity but low wages. Thank you, Isabel Pires. So to finish off, Commissioner.
Thank you very much. Well, on wages, you mentioned the position which I expressed just now also, that wages have to follow the price increases without provoking this famous spiral between wages and inflation, which is always a danger, because then the reaction of the central bank will be not the one they have had just up to now, but it will be much harsher, which we do not want, and we do not want to fall into a recession in Europe. Our concrete proposal is the directive on minimum wages, and I just have to note that in Portugal it is envisaged that minimum wages should be increased by 7.8%, and that there will be further increases every year. So there is clearly a concern that wages have to be adapted to this increases of prices. Now, the Commission has no competence to dictate the wages. You know, this is clearly even expressed in the treaty. The Commission cannot say, well, Portugal, you should now increase your wage by 9% and not 7.8%. This is not our competence. What we can say is first apply the directive as soon and as clearly as possible. And second, well, watch that indeed wages are not disconnected from the evolution of prices. And that's what we did. And by the way, wages is not just about minimum wages. Wages are also about collective agreements, collective bargaining. So encouraging social partners to negotiate fair wage deals, which take into account the possibilities of companies, but some companies can pay higher wages. We have talked about extraordinary profits a few minutes ago. Some can less. But this is a question of bargaining, collective bargaining between social partners, and that's also part of our directive. On housing, I think, as I said, we have a general housing problem in Europe, and there are structural problems now which every member state has to look at, how we can overcome these structural problems on the housing markets, which has become a bit more difficult because interest rates have gone up, but there are basic structural problems in many housing markets in Europe. And this has to be dealt with mainly by member states to find the right solution, especially on the side of the offer, because the demand is there and the offer has not always followed for different reasons. Or you have other phenomena which have finally made it more interesting to rent your apartment to Airbnb than to a family. And this is not acceptable. I say it very clearly. If the housing market is dominated by this kind of, we have to regulate. These are the structural problems which have to be sorted out. On the platform, I would say that, I obviously defend the proposal made by the Commission. And I have to say that Portugal has been an extremely solid and strong supporter of the Commission on this precise file of platform. In the discussion in the Council, which are not easy, because not everybody thinks that the Commission proposal is the adequate one, a certain number of member states want to water it down, and I must say I could always rely strongly on the support of the Portuguese government and the Portuguese Minister of Labour. Thank you.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Comissário. Concluímos assim este nosso encontro e resta-me, por isso, dizer umas brevíssimas palavras que são naturalmente de agradecimento. Em primeiro lugar, pela presença e participação de todos, pela condução dos trabalhos, pela minha ilustre colega Presidente da Comissão do Trabalho, de Segurança Social e Inclusão. Também registar a presença da Senhora Representante da Comissão Europeia em Portugal, Sofia Moreira. Foi um prazer recebê-la também aqui mais uma vez. E, por fim, agradecer ao senhor Comissário a forma clara como se expôs as posições da Comissão e que, creio, responderam às preocupações das diversas famílias políticas representadas no nosso Parlamento. Portanto, por isso, Sr. Comissário, foi um enorme prazer recebê-lo e desejo-lhe uma continuação de uma boa jornada em Portugal e continuação de bom trabalho na Comissão. E resta-nos agora para que fique registada esta nossa, a sua visita, dar-vos uma simples lembrança da nossa Assembleia.
C'est de remettre le cadeau. C'est un grand plaisir.
Relative à la Constitution de 1822.
Très intéressant. Merci beaucoup. Merci.
Et la couleur, elle est magnifique. Voyez, si vous aimez. Sinon, on va changer. Hein.
Non. Obrigado.
Merci beaucoup.
On veut que vous soyez content. Hein.
Non, mais je suis content. Hein. Je suis très content. Très intéressant. Merci beaucoup.
Ça casse.
Obrigado.
Ça casse.
Ouais. Ça casse.
Está assim encerrada esta nossa sessão de trabalho. Muito obrigado a todos.
Il ne faut pas que je casse déjà.